For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What's up, folks? It's a, you know, let's call it an international player coming to the States edition of Hitting the High Notes Jazz Talk. It is I am here. My name is Hootran. You can follow me on the Twitter at HootranSuperman or at Jazz High Notes number two. That's Jazz High Notes number two. Remade the Jazz High Notes Twitter account, or repurposed one at least, and doesn't really matter because the way Twitter works nowadays, my tweets don't even go out until 2 days later, so doesn't really matter. Some people call this guy the Zala of podcasting. He's here, he's there, he's everywhere. It's Go This Is 49 and of the Bus and Barker podcast. What's up, Jared?
Hey, how you doing? Who?
Not too bad, not too bad. You know, we haven't talked jazz in a while, so I feel like this is going to be cathartic for our soul. We get to go on, but you know, big news, NBA day at least. We're game three of the NBA finals, and also reports that Chris Paul about to be waived. Really interesting, that Chris Paul's about to be waived. But before that, Jared, I want to know about some football news, because apparently our podcast not only popular with the Lions, but very popular with the Indianapolis Colts cornerback room, Isaiah Rodgers Sr. in particular. Like, he loves using betonline.ag. You know, tell us a little more about that, Jared.
Well, hey, you know, BetOnline is your number one source for your championship finals info, stats, news, and scores. You can get the latest odds and lines and the latest matchup reports for this year's NBA and Stanley Cup Finals. BetOnline is your sports intel headquarters this season, as we have you covered for all your insider sports wagering needs, from basketball and hockey to MLB, UFC, and boxing. The fastest and easiest way to get your betting info, including live betting options and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your home. So get into the action today. Head to the website or use your mobile device to join, and be sure to use our promo code BELEAVE, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your 50% bonus on your first deposit. Bet online.
Where the game starts. Oh, my. I thought we were going to do that in synchronization. We were not in sync there. Sorry. We'll get better at it. Bet online.
You got to let me know if you're going to finish it off,
dude. No, I thought we were going to do it in sync. You know, I was just trying to sneak in there and it didn't work out. But bet online. Thank you. Thank you for sponsoring Hitting in the High Notes. And so now that we got that out of the way, we talked Indianapolis Colts and gambling. Chris Paul. So Chris Paul sounds like he was going to get waived. I don't think he's technically waived yet, Jared. Probably pretty smart in the Jazz, the Suns, to not waive him right now because,
Haynes might have pulled the trigger too quick. Shams seems to have, you know, cleaned that up a little bit. Said, hey, you know, they're exploring their options.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a lot of tweets like that. Like, it doesn't make sense because, like, the Jazz don't have cap space until July 1st. Right. But if you waive Chris Paul right now, the Jazz have no chance of picking up that, you know, waiver option on Chris Paul. I mean, it's very unlikely that someone would pick up Chris Paul on waivers, but Chris Paul's on waivers, and if someone has money, they might do it. It's very weird. Like, what is your take on Chris Paul possibly getting? Because it sounds like he wants to go back to the Suns, and this is all very confusing to like say we're going to cut you, but try to bring you back in, because it just sounds to me like Chris Paul's, if he stays with the Suns, is going to give up money in some way.
Yeah, it's confusing to me. Like, I don't know. Is this year not guaranteed? I mean, I looked at his contract. It said something like $15.8 million this year. And I was like, okay.
Right. Like, I think I'm a Trib Jazz. The non-Andy Larson Trib Jazz. Eric, I'm a tweeted out something like, his contract's like 30-ish million. The full contract's 30 million. If he gets cut, they save about $15 million. So that's not a nothing amount. For both parties, right? Like $15 million for the Suns gives them a little bit bigger of a mid-level exception. $15 million for Chris Paul is not nothing. That's money, especially for a player who is older-ish. So most guys at this age are looking to secure their last bag. It is very confusing. I don't really have a handle on it because he might go back to the Suns. I guess there's some talk that he might go back to the Suns on a minimum contract, which I think is nuts, but maybe Chris Paul likes the Suns enough that he's like, yeah, here's money you can have back. It would be probably the first time in the history of the NBA that a guy is just willingly giving away $15 million just to stay with the team. But someone can correct me if I'm wrong about that, but I can't think of another situation where a player would do that. But it's interesting, to say the least. And then game 3 of the finals tonight, Jared. Your boys, the Nuggets. The Nuggets, another dominating win, up 2-1. How's your confidence level with the Nuggets right now?
Oh, dude, they looked so good on the road in Miami tonight. Joker, that insane triple-double where he had over, 20 rebounds, 30 points, and then, 10 assists. And then did I see that right? That Jamal Murray had 34 and also had a triple-double, basically?
Two triple-doubles. The first 30-20-10 triple-double in NBA Finals history. I know that, last time we talked, you and Logan were like, oh, you were on board. But I said something like, I'm not confident in the Nuggets. And to clarify, like at that point, the Nuggets were probably the favorite. But like, if you told me if the Nuggets win the series, and you told me they start another tournament, like, oh yeah, cool, the day after the finals, all 16 teams are going to go back into, another playoffs, same seeding, everything, I would still not pick the Nuggets to win the next championship, maybe it's just, I don't know if it's bias or what it is, but just. No, I mean, they're a good team. But maybe the state of the NBA is that we don't have super strong teams anymore. I still think the Bucks and the Celtics, in a 7-game series, might beat those guys, but they're not in the finals right now. It's the Heat. So
it's really weird. The way the Celtics went out this year, which is really strange. That was really, really odd. I mean, they beat. And the Bucks it was really just really wild playoffs this year, right? With an 8 seed facing the one seed in the other conference, it's just crazy.
Yeah, a one seed that at the beginning of the playoffs, I mean, I feel like I wasn't out of pocket saying that I don't think the Nuggets were, the top four favorite. I thought maybe there'd be two or three teams favored in front of the Nuggets. I mean, some in the West even might have been more favored than the Nuggets. They had looked good in the playoffs, I will say that. But I also try not to have recency bias skew what I thought from a month ago to 2 months ago, 3 months ago. They have looked really good. They're now 2-1. Any predictions that you want to give for this series right now?
Well, I think before the series started, I was saying Nuggets in six, and I think that's a fairly safe bet. I mean, it's hard to tell, honestly. I feel like, with the way the Heat have just surged in these playoffs, like, the Heat could rattle off three wins straight, and like, it's not out of the question. But the Nuggets really felt like they dug in on defense tonight, and they really worked. They were keeping Miami off the boards, all that stuff. Like, they seem hungry. So I don't know, man. I really feel like Nuggets in six is a solid prediction.
All right, I like it. I mean, I think let's go 7 games. Let's just go 7 games. I don't know. I don't know. Don't really. I mean, it is interesting because, you know, if the Nuggets win, like, what did the Nuggets do this year that the Jazz cannot do a couple years ago when the Jazz were the number one team in the NBA, right?
They had a player that was like MVP caliber.
Okay, and that's fair. Like, it could be just that simple. Like, the Jazz just didn't have an MVP on their team.
And I feel like they have some better defensive role players.
Yeah, and so it'd be interesting to, like, maybe sometime in the offseason so I can think about it, because the Jazz, a couple years ago, number one team in the NBA, just like the Nuggets are. And, you know, it wasn't a super strong Western Conference. There was some parity. I mean, there's been some parity in the league. Like, this is what fans say they want. They want different teams. Like, this is something like the fifth or sixth different matchup in the last 7 years. Finals matchup, you know, new champions, new matchups and everything. So that's interesting. But I don't know, has you as a fan, have you felt like this has been, because I mean, I think the ratings and the number of people like that are watching are probably down, which it is what it is. But you as a fan, have you been enjoying the NBA more the last few seasons?
I mean, it's hard to say because, like, I mean, I feel like the league as a whole has been, you know, it's been fun. I really like, I enjoy watching Steph Curry play and such. And but being a Jazz fan, the way that kind of the team fell apart, that wasn't fun for me. But you know, I guess it's kind of an inevitability. You know, at a certain point, when the same group is together for quite some time, and you just keep top, you know, your ceiling is the second round, and you just keep failing to get to that next level. It feels like an inevitability. And if, you know, obviously I was calling for the Jazz to break up the team the year before they did it. So,
I guess, I mean, just, I mean, it's weird because, like, seeing the Heat as an 8 seed go just saying, yeah, what the hell? And then
the
them
regular season
beating
has
the
never felt.
odds a bunch of times is like, all right,
Yeah.
well, okay, cool. I had no confidence in the Heat from the first round series from till now. I guess maybe against the Yankees, I guess the Knicks, I thought maybe they were probably the favorite team in that one, but every other series, man, like, I'm just, they're kind of the scrappy underdogs, and it should make me feel better about the NBA. I don't feel, I mean, I think I feel better than when the Warriors were running
roughshod
roughshod
over
through
the
through the NBA. But I don't know, there's something, the NBA is a little bit broken, and I don't know what it is that it needs to fix, but that's just me. So,
Well, I feel like there's not as many, I don't know. I don't feel like the superstars that they have in the league now are really, as marketable as peak LeBron James, peak prime, you know, Steph Curry. Even though Steph is still
I
playing at an
mean,
amazingly high level, like,
I think that's maybe the problem is that the league still is just so dependent on having superstars because, like, I mean, it was no, you know, it's always been right, or pretty much been since, you know, it's Magic and Bird, and then it moved to Jordan, and then they had that, like, it was supposed to be Tim Duncan, you know, Shaq and Kobe, that was sort of kind of a weaker area, and then LeBron James came, so and they don't have anybody to really take the mantle yet. They have great players. But we're talking about marketability, and I mean, maybe I'm being unfair to Shaq and Kobe, but Duncan didn't have that marketability, and so it felt like the NBA suffered in that era. But
Yeah, when the Shaq, I feel like when the Shaq and Kobe breakup happened is kind of when it felt like things took a step back because Kobe was on that team, those teams that struggled for a while, and then until Dr. busted his thing and put some other players around him. So I get what you're saying for sure. Like, it's it's just different.
Yeah, I mean, Kobe probably should have been as big as Jordan and LeBron. And I don't know. Maybe it's because those two were both in the same LA market and sort of ate into each other. I don't know. Like, I mean, and my memory, you know, I'm old now, and that was a long time ago. So my memory's and I probably wasn't as plugged in as
true. And I also feel like it's just, I don't know, it's different now because people are like everywhere. So like, we didn't grow up in the era where it felt like I don't know, certain teams didn't feel as ubiquitous as they do now. Like, I feel like Jordan was like the only guy that felt like he was so super transcendent that he was just everywhere. You know, he had his own brand of shoes, like everything. Yeah, I mean, and Kobe was big, like, you know, he had his own line with Nike and stuff like that, but it wasn't like
I know.
He didn't have like a Air Kobe, you know, spinoff company.
I wonder why, and then I wonder what it was. But you know, I mean, it's not like he didn't play in the biggest market, you know. So, it's interesting, but
without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So let's move on. Let's go to we've taught some NBA. That's what you do on that's what you do on the Bus and the Bark, the Buster and the Bark podcast.
Yeah.
But we're here to talk some Jazz, and this is compared to last offseason. I was going to look up when the Donovan and Rudy trades happened, but I think those were July. Like, this is sort of like last year. Last year we were all just like, oh boy, the Jazz just. They sucked the life out of us that year. We were disappointed, didn't know what to do, didn't know what was coming, didn't know like the whole blow up was just around the corner. And this year it's different. Like, I mean, it's spring, things are growing in our year of moistness, basically. Things are growing, and the Jazz, you know, hope springs eternal because they have 3 picks in this upcoming draft. Some people call it a very loaded draft, with 9, 16, and 28. The Jazz are doing a lot of secret workouts this year. They're not they're not letting media come in. They're not announcing who's coming in. You have to put tea leaves together and do some social media.
At least some of the players are announcing it on their Instagrams. Mm-hmm.
Let's go Dick. Big Dick in Utah there. I think somebody posted like, "What would the headline be if the Jazz drafted Dick?" we might have to think of one before we leave here big Dick headline before we leave. That's one. Grady Dick, right? He posted that he was in Salt Lake City the other day. I think there was a leaked report that Cam Whitmore, in town. Bomani Jones, some of that. Bomani, the guy from, I'll have to look.
Is he the one who broke that?
Well, Bomani Jones is the I'll have to look up his name. Anyway, so he was in, but that guy's like a second round pick. So it's interesting that the Jazz are in a very unique situation.
Said Bomani Jones, I thought you were talking about the reporter.
Right, it's something. It's not Jones, but yeah, that's exactly. That's where your mind goes to first. But the Jazz are in such a unique position because they have a pick in number nine. They have a pick in the mid-10s. They have a pick in mid-teens. They have a pick in the late 20s. So basically they get to, like, bring in people from all over the board. Cam Whitmore, I think, is right now slated somewhere in the top 5. Like, a lot of mock drafts have him top 5, but close enough that the Jazz...
Seven or
whatever. Yeah, the Jazz are interested in him, obviously, and... close enough that, you know, either he is using the Jazz as a warm-up workout or saying, okay, this is a team that if I drop, you know, I don't want to drop below them. Or
it's like they're my safety team.
If they want to trade up and they have the assets to do it, they might do that. So,
right.
I don't know what it is. I don't know what the story is, but hey, at least it was reported that he was in town and had a workout.
Yeah, shout out to our guy Jazz Jargon. He's all over the camp.
He does
more train.
He does. he's tweeting out every day, and I'm maybe I'll dunk on him here in just a second, but. Yeah, so what are you looking for in this year? I mean, like, last year the Jazz had no draft picks. Danny Ainge joked about how, like, oh boy, last year was really boring because they had no draft picks. And the Jazz are rarely, they've only been in the lottery, like, 10 times or something. It's not a lot of times that the Jazz have been in the lottery. And not a lot of times they've had a top 10 pick, which, depending on how you look at it, is a good or bad way to look at it. But... is there like anybody or anything in this draft that's really interesting to you right now?
Well, I feel like that the Jazz definitely feel like they need a guy who can create, a guy who can get dribble penetration, kind of get to the rim, put pressure on the rim there, so that they can take advantage of the just open up the offense. Because I feel like one thing that Markkanen struggles with, is being able to dribble drive, take it to the rack. And so they need to add a guy that can complement him, also get him the ball in his spots, a guy that can, grow into maybe a floor general type or, a number one option on the team. Because don't get me wrong, I love Laurie. But I feel like he's a number two on a title team, maybe. Like, I'm not even sure if that's true because I've never seen him do it in the playoffs. So, it's a question mark. So I feel like we're looking for wing players. We're looking for maybe a lead guard.
That's interesting. And admittedly, I avoid watching tape. I avoid watching college basketball. I think it's a waste of time for a lot of reasons. I don't enjoy much college basketball. Maybe I'll watch a random Utah State Aggie game because I went there, but I will watch, maybe a couple of March Madness games.
I'm just mostly the same. I don't watch as much college.
I won't be watching a lot of and watching tape. Watching tape is fine. But a lot of times you're watching highlights and, former director of personnel for the Jazz, Walt Perrin, would used to say, he's like, don't show me the highlights of players. Show me their lowlights. Show me what they're not good at, and I can tell you if it's something we can fix. And, Kevin Costner, Sonny Weaver, said in the draft day, he's like, find out what this player's thing is and find out if it matters. Everybody has a weakness.
It's an NBA skill.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Find out. NBA skill? Find out what matters and see if it's something that you can live with. See if it's something that you fix or something that you don't think matters that much. I don't like to waste my time. I don't like to waste my time. Watching tape or really digging into these draft prospects because I feel like it's not only like a minuscule piece of information. If I'm a Jazz, the Jazz scouts, like they have the same tape and everything, right? But they have, they're going to have interviews with the players. They're going to have workouts with the player.
Feel like those in-person workouts are really valuable.
Right,
that's a lot of information that we don't have access to.
Yeah, it's all the stuff that they have, and so me going out there going, hey, I spent I spent 30 hours searching YouTube, searching all these things, reading draft analysis about player X, and saying, boy, this is the guy I think is going to be him, and giving you an opinion that's based off maybe 10% of the information that people who are hired to do the job have, and so that's you're probably not going to see me on either of my Twitter accounts really saying like, oh, hey, look at this guy. Like once in a while I'll see a cool highlight. I'm like, hey, tweet this out, but it's really not a guy that I put towards that. So is there anybody at 9 or anybody that you've seen in Jazz Twitter, in the echo chamber that were in there? You're like, oh boy, I'm interested in that name.
Well, a couple names that interest me. So one I've heard tossed around a lot is Anthony Black. Just he looks like an incredible defensive player, and you know they're basically trying to look on helping him fix his shooting form and shot is what I'm understanding from what people are saying about him. And then you know another name I keep hearing is Hendricks, and it's like okay, you know I don't know enough about either of these guys, but I feel like Anthony Black, like if his floor is being just a great defender and then like a so-so offensive player, that's something the Jazz need. They need more defenders. But you know, we're probably not going to pick this high again for a while. So the Jazz just need to load up on talent.
Right.
what it comes down.
And then those are names. Yep. We've heard that. And you know, you said something I thought was interesting. You said, fixing a shooting form. And, like, is that something that you can live with? Can you live with somebody with a really, like, how bad of a shot can you live with?
That's a good question.
That's why I host a podcast.
Yeah. That is a fantastic question. I would say that, I can live with the Sean Marion shot.
Could you live with a bad shot, right? Could you live with another Ronnie Brewer?
Oof, 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 I don't think so.
I mean, because that's the thing is that, like, Brian Brewer, you know, solid player, played a lot of years, you know, just had a really broken shot, and something that maybe they thought they could work on, and it just never got better, really.
Yeah.
And
it's unfortunate. That happens to a lot of guys.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, so we're talking about Anthony Black, right? Anthony Black, and then, like, a broken shot. But yeah, you know, like he has a broken shot, but man, he does a lot of other things well. But man, if he has a broken shot, like how broken, yeah, you know,
it is could be it? The next Stanley Johnson, basically. Yeah.
So like, I mean, because that could be, you know, that's something that, oh, we can work on that at the next level. But like these guys are 19, 20. These guys are people who've been playing for, you know, 15 years, AAU tournaments, playing every day of their lives for the last 15 mm-hmm. years, and nobody's thought to, like, hey, we should work on their shot now. Like, all right, we'll wait till they get to the NBA before we start working on their shot,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, right.
And so it's, I mean, I'm not saying that Anthony Black's not the right guy. I have no clue. Like, they're all the same people to me. Unless you're Victor, and unless you're maybe Scoot,
Scoot and Miller, and Brandon Miller.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Bing Bing, Brandon Miller. You know, like, I probably don't have an opinion of those guys. Like, those guys are probably the guys I think that are, you know, most likely. And they might, but everybody else after that, sort of in the same tier of, like, all right, you know, they might be good, they may not be good. I don't have enough information to really say, I think
I don't know, that man. You've been saying, like, the Thompson twins for like, forever.
Yeah, and but again.
Amen and.
Amen and Asar.
Yeah,
we learned their names. But the reason I've been saying them is because they've been talked about being like top five in this class for a while. Like, my opinion is only based off what other people were talking about, you know, preseason, and I try gotcha. To put that in mind. Like, all right, cool. These are people that people who are in the know. People who are smart and people who do
right.
watch more of this. These are people that, okay, before anything's been out here, these are kind of the people that
like
we like okay. because of intangibles, like stuff like their athleticism, their body type, things like Victor is number one because he's, you know, you're not going to find another 7'4" center that can move and do things that he does. You know, there's other things yeah. that, but, you know, Jason Tatum, as good as he is, he cannot be Victor Wembanyama, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, because he just doesn't have those same physical tools. So, yeah, so that's why, I mean, those guys are kind of in a different and it might be one of these guys, Black or Hendricks or Jackson, Dick. You know, one of the Thompson twins are falling, which – yeah, again, sounds great, right? Like you would think I'd be jumping for joy that Azar or Amen might be falling to nine.
Amen to that.
What's up?
Amen to that.
Yeah, and they might be falling to nine, but I'm like, again, if they're falling, there could be a reason they're falling, right? You know, I don't necessarily love when people fall. It's cool, and so this is again why I kind of put my mind. You know, I just kind of wait. You know, I'm going to wait and see you know, obviously whatever I say on this, unless Danny Ainge is like, I'm a little bored on this plane ride. Let me download a podcast for some dumbasses on Twitter. And these guys have, my opinion is not going to matter to what they're going to do. Right. I just like to talk and I do like to think about the draft though. Cause so here's an interesting, question for you. So where was that mock draft I pulled up? My computer's slowing down. Let's just say,
is it from like Jason Cavoni with ESPN?
I just typed in NBA mock draft. Let's see what pops up here. Let's go Yahoo Sports from 2 days ago. All right. So,
Yahoo.
This one has Jazz Nick Smith Jr. from Arkansas. All right. Let's say Jalen Hood-Schifino, right? The guard, the 6'6 freshman from Indiana. So okay. He's right now at the 15 mark. No. Let's go Kobe Bufkin from Michigan, 6'4 mm-hmm. sophomore. Kobe, he's slated in the Yahoo mock draft at number 19.
Kobe.
What if again the Jazz are bringing guys from the 9 range to 5 range. Obviously, from all the way to 28 range. So they might be bringing him in. Let's say they're going to bring him in. Let's say you're a scout, Jared. You're a scout. You've seen the video. You've seen the mock drafts. You had Kobe come in, and you're like, well, you're blown away. You think he's you think he's actually Kobe Bryant incarnate. He's so good. He's 6'4". You're like, oh, wow, this guy can handle the ball. This guy can shoot. This guy, we think he is the best prospect we've had out of everybody that we've brought in. And let's say all the mock drafts have him around 19, right? Draft night comes around, everything's kind of going the way you think it's going to go. Number 9 comes up, and you have a chance to take Kobe Bufkin or Jarace Walker or Grady Dix there, that Bilal Koulibaly. From France, there, Jordan, like a lot of people are there that are at 9. Who do you take?
Well, I feel like
say one of the Thompsons is there. Say it was Azar.
Oh man, I'd go with Azar. Honestly,
you would. I mean, okay, yeah. But no, not you as a fan. You as scout.
As a scout, I would probably have to go with Bufkin, who I thought was the best guy.
Right. Yeah, like because you wouldn't wait till 16.
Right, if I think that he's the top player on my board or whatever that's there, then
Why would you not wait?
Yeah, honestly, you don't always have intel of what the other teams behind you, like who they fell in love with.
The smartest thing you've ever said on this podcast.
Yeah, so, I mean, like the team right behind you could be like, oh man, I know they love Bufkin and they might pass on him, so we're gonna swoop in and grab him. Like you never know, man.
And this comes to like there are people who are gonna
Vontae Mack no matter what.
Exactly, Vontae Mack no matter what. Like if you just believe, like I see this on Twitter a lot right now in the echo chamber. Like, okay, we can get these guys here, and here, and they're putting them in tiers. They're doing all this stuff, and that's great. I mean, I do that in my own personal life. I do that when I make my boards. I do that when I do fantasy football. But fantasy football is not NBA drafting. And I think a lot of people would be disappointed if they took Kobe Bufkin at 9. You would see the keyboard warriors come out like, oh my God, that guy could have been there at 16. We don't know that. We don't know if he would be there at 16. And our jobs are on the line. Like if Donovan Mitchell, right, he had to go. He went 13, but the Jazz had the 20th pick. Like the Jazz didn't wait around and say, oh, he might drop to 20. Like they went and got him. This is a little bit different because the Jazz have the 16th pick, and he might be their 16, but maybe the Mavericks like him. Maybe somebody else likes him enough to trade up to get him. There's a lot of things that if you think he's the best player, if he's the best talent available, again, we don't have all the information, we don't have the workouts, we don't have the interviews, and the Jazz aren't going to give us any of that this year. There's a chance that as a Jazz fan, you might be disappointed in the number 9 pick.
Right. And I totally agree with you there, because like, yeah, it's like you said, we don't have the information that they're we've got completely different sets of information from what they're working with. So,
and in fantasy football, you kind of do have the information. Hey, I have the 10th pick in the first round. I know I can skip this guy because he's probably going to be there. Like, I don't think the guys behind me are going to draft this guy because, you know, there are lists. Those lists are put out by people. You know, we're all reading that same list. The lists that are mock drafts are being put out by educated writers that don't exactly know what all 30 teams really know. You know, some of them are educated, yes. Some of them are going to be right, but they're going to be wrong in a lot of places too. And
with fantasy football, you also have the advantage of these people are drafted. Fantasy football, you also have the advantage of these people are drafted to a team. You have a pretty good idea of whether or not they're going to start, you know, what kind of reps they're going to see. Mm-hmm. Like you have so much more information.
Right.
Because the fantasy football churn is there's so much coverage on that end, and it's just the draft and what the NBA teams are doing. You don't have the same level of insider knowledge.
Yeah, that's exactly. The point is we're trying to say that, it's not the same. You can't say I would do this in fantasy football. It's not the same as saying okay, I'm gonna do this in NBA, because in fantasy football you lose, you just reset the next year.
Right.
If in basketball, if you pass up on Giannis, you don't get another chance next year to get him,
mm-hmm.
Those guys go back in the pool the very next year. These guys, they're on your team for, probably 7-ish years at least, for the most part, if you re-sign them. The Mavericks, right? Famously, have that story that they really liked the Giannis at 13, but traded out of that draft pick. And they're probably kicking themselves to this day because they did that. And you don't want to do that as a GM. Like, you don't want to be like, you could gamble. You can like, you know what? I want this guy. And I'm hoping
they can have more titles.
Yeah.
Another title.
You could play the game and hope that he falls to 16, because he might, but you have no idea. You have no idea. And you can spend the next hour and 15 minutes just kind of hoping and waiting that your best guy, your diamond in the rough, is sitting there, and we see that in the drafts a lot. And you're gonna lose a press conference, you're gonna lose the ESPN articles. Like, they'll come up like, oh, the Jazz drafted so and so, eight spots too high, and then you'll get asked that in the press conference, like, hey, you drafted somebody that might have been there at 16.
Yeah, and those are always so weird that like winning a draft or whatever, and it's like you don't really know if you won or lost the draft until
years
later, right?
Right, exactly. So like we think, and you give points to these things, and nobody knows. But I'm putting that out there. Maybe I'm speaking into existence that the Jazz might draft somebody that's very high on their board that's low in these mock drafts. Because you talked about the Jazz just need talent. I don't like when people are like, well, what do you think the Jazz need? I'm like, I think the Jazz need to get a superstar. And I don't care if they play the same position as Walker Kessler. I don't care if they position as Lauri Markkanen. You just make it work. It doesn't matter. You wouldn't pass on John Morant if you had Steph Curry,
Right, player available.
Yeah, you take the talent and then you figure it out. Worst case scenario, you have to maybe you have to trade somebody. That is a possibility. But at least if you trade somebody, you can get assets back for something else. You can't do that if you have the lesser talent. You can't get the same return on investment at lesser talent. The NBA really is just about you get two to three really good players.
And I think that's part of the reason why everybody's would be disappointed if the Jazz took Grady Dick at 9,
right?
Because you feel like he's a lesser talent, he's a high floor, low ceiling type of guy.
He might be. I've seen it both ways, and I can't tell you. I don't watch Grady Dick video.
Yeah, I honestly don't know. That's just what I keep hearing.
But there's a lot. Grady Dick is probably one of the most divisive players, in the draft. He's he's a small forward. He shoots the lights out of the building. Everybody worries about his athleticism and all this stuff, and they're doing it off, you know, combine numbers and mm-hmm. you know, the combine, which is, as Chris Harris calls it, the underwear Olympics, right? Like the NFL combine, it's just like, what do you really learn from the NFL? You know, it's something to like pass the time before the actual draft. You know, we see guys with bad combine numbers all the time do well. We see guys that have great combine numbers do well. So that tells me that it doesn't necessarily matter. Combine numbers mm-hmm. don't necessarily matter, because if you have on both ends of the spectrum amazing players, then it doesn't. The data's not telling you what it should tell you. So, yeah. So Grady Dick is a good example, because I don't know. He probably can go somewhere in that 9 to. Well, I shouldn't say that. The mock drafts have him slated anywhere to go from like 8 to like 13, or so. If the Jazz are going to get him, it'll probably have to be with that 9th pick. And some people are going to be very happy. Some people are going to be very angry, sad. And you know, my advice is just always be angry at the Jazz. That's what I've done for the past 4 years.
Sure you will.
And that's where I've been. And so you get to acceptance much faster if you're just angry at the Jazz all the time. But
default to just accept that they're going to disappoint you, and you always will.
Yes. Zendaya. But yeah, that is where I'm at with the Jazz right now. It's just like hey, they, you know, it might be okay. You know, I don't know who the draft pick is, and I'm just hoping, like, they're doing a lot of secrecy. You know, as somebody who works in the media, not being able to go and get draft pick sounds after the their workouts suck. Like, it's like, all right, this is great content that I could have, and then maybe gives more people, like, you know, it would give fans a little more insight, like, oh boy, I like that answer, or oh boy, like, you know, this is, or it might just even help their confirmation bias, whatever it is. You know, us in the media are not getting it this year, and maybe it works. Maybe it will work for the Jazz. Like, secrecy is not always the worst thing in the world. Mm-hmm. You know, trying to keep everything in house, it does make it for, like, you know, like jabronis like you and I have to sit around and speculate if Donovan and Rudy hate each other or not. But it gives us content. But yeah, like always being truthful, like, you know, not tipping your hand to another team, because now, you know, like say the Jazz do love Kobe Bufkin, you know, again, just, or pick a name, G.G. Jackson, pick a name, right? Somewhere that, you know, is not being shown in the 9 in the 9 range, Derek Lively, right? Maybe the Jazz do love that guy at 9, but they're so secretive that, you know, the Mavericks are like, oh my god, there's no way the Jazz like this guy, right? Like, he's gonna drop to us, and then you take that pick and you scoop for the Mavericks. And then the Mavericks freak out. Like that could happen, because the Jazz are so secretive. Like, you don't want to give, like, this is a game of information nowadays. And I mean, we showed old video of Frank Layden, like, pre-draft, like, having the reporters come in and, like, this is our board. I think it was Daryl Griffith or something. It was on their, like, number one guy. That's crazy, right? Like, that he's showing you the draft board. This is like a week before the draft.
Holy crap, dude.
Yeah, this is the 80s. Like, you know, obviously, like, I mean,
the information just wasn't as wildly traveling that fast.
Oh, well, yeah. Like, you know, there's no internet. Like, you know what I mean? But I mean, you could have thought of, like, you know, maybe there's a Mavericks fan living in Utah watching KSL at the time going, oh, I actually know a beat reporter that lives in Dallas.
Call the Mavericks.
Yeah, so you make a long-distance phone call. Tell them, like, hey, this costs me $5 a minute, but, you know, listen to this info, you know? Like, yeah. You know? But, yeah, so it is crazy that, you know, times are different. But, yeah, like, and this is, I mean, the Jazz being secretive about stuff is not new. The Jazz being secretive about the draft is pretty new. Like, I mean, we usually had some good intel on guys and, you know, even 2 years ago, like, you know, they'd be like, oh, yeah, here are the 10 guys coming in for the Jazz for this workout, right? And this year, you're not even getting that, so it's a little crazy. And I don't know, how do you feel about Jazz keeping their secrets?
Well, it's interesting that, like the stories we would get before is, like, Dennis Lindsay's like, don't tell anybody how good this workout was, you know, about Donovan Mitchell, or you'll be fired. But it's like, this version of the Jazz, like, don't, we don't even want anybody to know who's actually, Like, I can't tell how much of that is like their part of it's like they're testing the players.
Yeah,
testing,
Danny Ainge is out here giving information to games,
man.
Giving like, information Targaryen style. Not Targaryen. Who are the other guys? People. I haven't watched Game of Thrones in a long time.
He's like the White Tower from Robert Jordan novels, Wheel of Time. He's like Aes Sedai, keeping a bunch of secrets.
Yeah, he's out there doing it. Tyrion Lannister style, where he's like giving information to three different people. And then the information that gets out, that's how he knows who the mole is, basically.
Smart.
Yeah. Tyrion Lannister was the smartest man in Westbury, or whatever they called that place. Westbury, Massachusetts, I believe. All my Game of Thrones knowledge has like just really after like the final season, I'm like, all right, cool. Like I like the show. I just didn't really care too much about it. So I can make a reference, but like, I probably will not go watch that show again. But yeah, so the Jazz are doing some secret workouts, and so we don't know who it is. And I think you and I both agree, just really good. I mean, even if they like Lively, right, is a center that's moving up draft boards, and people are like, well, I've seen like Jazz Dragon, right? Like, again, you know, Jazz Dragon, love the guy. He's a great guest. He does a lot of good work. He's putting a lot of work, putting out, doing his own. Again, but I think he's only working with 10% of the information. You know, being a Twitter scout, Twitter GM is great, but you know, when you don't have all the information, it's hard for me to be like, all right, yeah, this is my guy I want to go to. And you know, we'll invite guys on to talk about it because 10% information is more than the 0% information that you're going to get from me. So, 0%. We'll have names. We'll talk about names and why people like them or not. But I'm using this podcast time to be like, all right, hey, there's a chance the Jazz pick somebody out of left field. Maybe somebody that, you know, had a second round grade, because that's who they like the most. And maybe they hit on another Donovan Mitchell. Maybe they hit on another Udoka Azubuki. So,
Gordon Hayward, maybe. And ninth pick.
Yeah, it's weird because, like, you know, and again, you know, we're already going along with this podcast anyway, but we'll have to go talk about, like, where we, you know, like, the tiers that we have, I guess. And maybe we'll do it when we get some guests on here and talk about the people and who they are, because, you know, unfortunately, I think the Jazz, you know, again, I've been saying it for 4 or 5 months now, like, ever since the Jazz stopped, you know, really trying to, like, really get a good pick, like, they're just going to have to get lucky. And they might. You know, there's, you know, they're playing a lottery pick, or playing a lottery that has, you know, maybe 2 or 3 more jackpot winners than a normal lottery. Like, a normal lottery, maybe you get one, maybe half. Mm-hmm. If you miss one year, you might get next year. Maybe there's 3 lottery, you know, jackpots in this draft, and you know, 3 is bigger than 1. So you know, if you just hit on one of those 3, great. Again, I'm just making up numbers, but to talk about my point here. But so if the Jazz do it, and if not, maybe they turn into really good role players. Like Jamal Murray, like I don't think is a top 35 player, but you know, he's showing that he can maybe top 40, 45. And if you put him with a top 5 player, he looks a lot better than he is, right? So maybe you get another Jamal Murray, you know? I don't know. So you know, that's not a point that I made very clearly, but still. All right, Jared. Well, anything other draft thoughts that we need to get through today?
Just that. How far into June is the draft?
Is it like June 22nd?
22nd.
Let's see, because I believe I have I work that day, and so the NBA draft is June 22nd. Look at me. So that's 2 weeks away.
All right.
Yeah. So it's
coming up quick.
Yeah. So 2 weeks away, the Jazz, and you know, there's gonna be some movement. So we'll probably have to amp up the number of episodes in the next couple of weeks to kind of get some people in here, talk about names and prospects and everything. And you know, Logan decided to decline coming on this podcast because he thought he had to know something about the draft. And ironically, he had to know nothing about this draft, and that would have made it for a better episode.
He knows as much as we do.
Yeah. We don't know anything. I mean, you know, and no, again, no offense to all the Twitter GMs and Twitter scouts out there. I know you've done a lot of work, but you don't know anything either. So it's fine. And it's okay. It's okay not to know stuff. It's a good hobby to have. So anyway, Jared, where can they find you on the Twitterverse?
The Bus and Barker, BussandBarker, Bus and Barker. That's where you can locate me.
Yeah, you get talk about NBA on there. I like how you just like to abandon one Twitter.
Yeah.
And just like, you know, I'll take this one now. And it's the same Twitter.
So. I mean, there's less followers. Like, I don't know. It's less of a draw to be on there as much. And so, it's just, I don't know. I'm not on Twitter as much as I used to be, and it's kind of nice.
Well, I mean, you know, like we're supposed to unplug and everything. I hope that we make enough Bet Online money to get these Apple headsets so we can start doing our podcast that way.
Oh yeah, and then like we'll see each other on the headsets. Yeah,
see on the headsets, and other people who have $3,500 laying around. So again, thank you to Bet Online for sponsoring Hitting the High Notes Jazz Talk. Again, find me at my new podcast Twitter account at Jazz High Notes 2, the number 2. That's at Jazz High Notes, the number 2. Again, it doesn't matter because every time I try to tweet anything, it just kind of gives me like gray, like it gives me the line. And usually, you know, that line is we live in the 5G era. That line should, it's like, zoop, go quickly. And nope, just kind of dies. I'm like, okay, cool. My tweet's never gonna get sent, so I can't send GIF gifts. I can't send anything. I can't even send.
Have you tried like clearing the cache or whatever on the app? There, somebody was telling me that like that helps.
So much trouble to delete the app and then reinstall the app, and like I'm trying to like, do I even care that much? I'm like, okay, it's annoying. But then I'm like, am I annoyed enough to actually do something about it? Probably not. And that's just because I'm old and lazy. So, and that's how we do. So, thanks for joining us, folks. And we'll catch you guys next time.
So, we do have a spicy one over at like at their team, too. I want to try. It's got like roasted jalapenos on it.
Oh, so. Yes. A good spicy burger usually is the right idea. Like, I'll go to Red Robin. They have like 8 burgers too. I go there for dessert, but like I'm talking about red meat, like my body already hurts. So,
oh my god!
I'm coming to 39 here in just a few months, so man, I'm basically dead. So
you're basically dead.
Yeah, but I do love a good burger. So yeah.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.